Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dee Nicholson calling you on BBSRadio.com from Zero Point Radio. And we are here today with something that is, we've had our guest today on once or twice before. Fascinating fellow. I'm sure you're going to enjoy this. Well, or not. It's not exactly enjoyable stuff to listen to. But before we get going with our guest, I think what I'd like to do is point out a couple of things that are going on. First of all, if you are one of those people who is concerned about the smart grid and smart meters, the battle in British Columbia is really heating up because the government out there had an election in May, and both the environment or the energy minister before the election, which was a Mr. Coleman, and after the election, now that they've changed governments, Mr. Bill Bennett, both of these fellows have said, it's okay, we're not going to force you to have a smart meter. And yet what we are hearing is that Fortis and Corix, who are the companies that are involved in supplying these smart meters, are still going around, despite this option, and forcing people to get smart meters. Now, that's bad enough. Okay, but then on top of that, they've put conditions on their little option that they're offering to, for people to opt out. And they are going to try and charge. Now, this is without legislation, without approvals, but it has not gone through yet. Don't anybody pay these fees just yet, because they're bogus and they are not approved. They want to charge $35 a month for people to keep their analog meters. And if you accept a smart meter that is not radiating, not transmitting data, the fee drops to $25 a month. So in other words, your bonus to accept the smart meter, and you have no way of knowing whether these things are transmitting unless you put a meter on them. And we already know that they've lied and said, oh no, that meter is not transmitting. And yet when you hold a meter up to it, yes, it is. So there's all kinds of what my mother used to call schniggity crooks going on. I love that word, schniggity crooks. And the battle is heating up. And if you are a BC resident, or in fact a resident of any province where they're foisting these meters on you, you need to know that these meters have never been proven safe and non-damaging. You need to know that they cause a whole lot of symptoms for a whole lot of people. And at the same time, as school boards across the country and across the states are now smartening up and saying no Wi-Fi in schools, guess what? There's a whole bunch of other school boards that are ramping it up. And I'm wondering, I don't know if any of our listeners can inform me, listeners from Canada that is, are these schools being paid to install cell phone senders and Wi-Phone sender towers on top of their buildings? Because on a recent trip out into the country, out here in the Toronto area, that is exactly what I saw. School buildings with massive sender towers and antennae perched on top of buildings where children are studying. And in San Diego State University, they found a cancer cluster of brain glioma cancer in brains killing several students. Already killed several students, and these towers are all perched on top of the student union building where a lot of them study and where a lot of them hang out and spend a lot of their time. These cancer clusters are popping up. The research was never done beyond thermal heating, and of course thermal heating is only one of the effects of Wi-Fi, and it depends on how it's applied as to whether or not you get the thermal effects. But the frequency variations are very damaging, and they can alter your DNA, they can make you sterile, they can give you cancer, they can cause you massive headaches, they can cause you anxiety, they can cause you sleeplessness, they can cause tinnitus. If you have any of these symptoms, and you have a smart meter on your house, you might want to check into your own history and find out when these adverse health effects started, because in many cases, they started only after a smart meter was applied to the house. Now, I know from myself, I'm in a rented premises, and therefore, I have a smart meter on my home, and because of the smart meter, I get tinnitus. And that tinnitus is something I've never had before in my life. So, funny thing about that, I've also got a collector wand on a telephone pole outside my house, about 30 feet from my front door, and that may be processing as much as 500 homes worth of data. So, yeah, I'm in a nest here, and I'm not happy about it, and you shouldn't be either, because the health effects are cumulative over the long term. And what is very, very scary about this is that these effects can happen surreptitiously. And because they are surreptitious, they are, you know, hard to detect. A cancer may not happen until 10 or 20 years later, but that does not mean it wasn't generated by these frequencies. So please pay attention. Your health is at risk here, totally at risk, and you need to know exactly what's going on. Anyways, at this point in time, I would like to bring on our guest, Mr. Werner Bock from New Brunswick. Werner is a farmer. He is a traditional farmer. He is one who has essentially used good farming methods all his life. He was raised on the farm. He's done everything right. And some time back, some very strange things started happening to Werner's cattle and livestock, and Werner has gone to the ends of the earth trying to prove exactly what has caused them. Now, he had some trouble this week, and we will be talking about that over the next hour or so, and without further ado, I'd like to bring Werner Bock on the line. Werner, welcome. And thank you for being here today.
Good afternoon, and I want to thank you, and I want to thank Dr. Holmes. He phoned me up a few days ago and informed me that he would like to have me on the show. I never dreamt about years ago that I had to go to that extent in order to get, hopefully, to achieve some justice and to get the crimes to stop. And what I've seen, found out over the last few days, most of the government agencies, the way they are saying, you know, all lights are flashing, all bells are ringing, but there's nobody left there to actually do the jobs, the real jobs, you know. They make just only fringe issues, they blow them all out of proportion, and they make them the major issues, but the big issues, the real vital issues, they sweep them underneath the carpet.
Yes, but, well, this is very widespread, as we know. It's not just in the way that you've experienced it, but we're all experiencing the same kind of thing. Our government is unresponsive and unaccountable. You can't get any results out of anybody these days. And, you know, a lot of that, as I mentioned to you before the show started, a lot of that comes from trade obligations that people are not aware of. And it's causing our government to go deep underground on a whole lot of issues, including the ones that have been, you know, damaging your life. And I've seen the photos. I've seen your videos. Right? And to my mind, I don't know how anybody can look at the video evidence you've presented and said, you know, oh, all this is, you've just got, you know, some kind of disease going on in your cattle or something like that. I mean, what you show in these videos on YouTube, it's conclusive, isn't it?
Well, as I say, the YouTube farmers or deer, there, the last time I looked, there were over 50 positive comments and 2 negative comments.
Yep.
And I took care to shore up any kind of a documentation I had there and any kind of a conclusion I drew out of it. It mm-hmm. was based on basic sound science and backed up by scientific research already from decades ago that had been published on PubMed. You know, one of the most reputable, if not the most reputable scientific publication here in North America.
Mm-hmm.
But look, if I can, you know, regress, you mentioned there about electromagnetic, the detrimental health effect being exposed to electromagnetic radiation, in that
yep.
case, to smart meters and so.
Yep.
There is some information I came across there a few days ago when I was researching it. Someone sent it to me. I don't remember. It could have been your friend, Marlene. And it's about Dr. Barry Trauer. And he talks about, he is a top microwave expert. He was with microwave technology right from the beginning, from the 60s on. And in this one lecture, he talked about the tetra wave, you know,
yeah.
and the detrimental effect. And then I came across Mrs. Camilla Rees, Electronic Health. It's very interesting, you know, when people develop electromagnetic hypersensitivity.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what basically is with be the end result for many people that are, have smart meters on their houses or they are in an apartment building where the smart meter is outside or any kind of a electromagnetic device, radio device is operating in the apartment next to it or next to where you sleep or so.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think... it is outside irresponsible.
You know what's interesting? What's interesting?
But unless they are banking on the onslaught of health problems, cancers and everything.
Oh, yeah.
And the medical industry expects a huge upbeat in their cases of sicknesses and basically that the cash cows keep coming in.
Well, that's exactly, you know, the whole point of it is basically there is no money in health. There's absolutely no money in health. And when you think about the profitability rules, the TRIPS rules in the trade agreements, these are, that's the acronym for trade-related intellectual properties. Well, trade-related intellectual properties are patents.
And as I say, you know, you said there's no money in health, but there's lots of money in sickness.
Oh, yeah,
and,
patient cured.
And the travel patient... industries, they're the biggest industries and the most profitable industries in most of the Western economies.
Absolutely. A cancer diagnosis is worth over $250,000, just a diagnosis. Is basically they're saying, okay, we got $250,000 coming in on the back of this person's tumor.
I find it completely irresponsible and criminal.
Those
that reap in the big profits among the health professionals, they can't be that stupid.
Well,
you know?
No, they can't be. But the interesting thing is that I see is that there are standards of practice in the medical profession. There's all of these different rules and regulations that restrict doctors and other medical professionals from doing their job in the way they normally would do it.
These
are being set internationally now.
You know, years ago, decades ago, I used to listen to religious radio shows, you know?
Yep.
And, now I lost my train of thought. But, it's all right.
Yeah, okay.
The speaker, he looked at the statistics, And basically, the statistics pointed out the higher the numbers of accountants and lawyers in a society, the more the standard of living of that society goes down.
No kidding. No kidding. It's nice to have numbers to back that up, but I think we can see that happening. I mean, essentially, you're talking about all these professions, and all these professions you're referring to are professions where people get paid whether they do their job well or not.
And as I say, what I said, the trouble industries.
Yeah.
And the trouble industries, the more trouble, the more money can be made by those high-paid professionals.
Well, of course.
And when those trouble industries represent multinational corporations, but like pharmaceutical companies, and so the more dividends can be raked in.
Yeah, and check this out, Werner. I don't know if you've heard this. You know our friend Bill Gates, who's running around the world now, and he's, you know, helping to vaccinate and immunize all these children in the third world, and my goodness, isn't he philanthropic and nice. Well, the deal is that what Mr. Gates did was he sold off a whole bunch of his Microsoft stock, and with that money, he bought pharmaceutical stock in companies that produce vaccines.
Then, that's what I just wanted to say, but
So there he goes. He's got all these huge investments, many millions and millions of dollars invested in the very companies that produce the vaccines. That he then goes around third world countries on the African continent and elsewhere. Okay, and oh my goodness, I'm such a good guy. I'm helping all these kids to be immune from disease. Well, we saw what happened in India last year. They pushed the polio vaccine. Instantly, they got 47 cases of atypical paralysis. 47,000 cases of polio that popped up because of their immunization. You get
see, what might come into play in there, too. Humanity is genetically very diverse. And
oh,
what works on members in the white race and that eat a certain diet traditionally, their diversity in the genetic makeup. It might not work, or it might even deadly.
Yeah, exactly.
With members of a different racial group.
Yeah, well, we all process things differently depending on what part of the world we're from. Our bodies are used to certain things. And that's very correct. Even certain foods that these people are not accustomed to, they don't get processed well by their bodies. And if they're forced to switch diets, they can get very, very ill just from the food. And now we're talking about something injected into the bloodstream of babies. So
and
we're,
as I say, Dr. Carly, she has been advocating now for decades about the dangers of vaccinations, and there are many others, and those that stood up against Big Pharma, they had a dire price to pay.
Yes, look at Dr. Andrew Wakefield. Wakefield, who came out with the MMR study on autism, came out with his findings and got literally demonized and had his medical license removed. And he has now been vindicated and is now living in Texas, having moved there from Britain. And he's coming back. And good for Andrew because, you know, as far as that goes, the courts are now very quietly giving compensation. But the interesting thing is, that while that is happening, there's a fight back move going on with the Food and Drug Administration. Apparently what they are doing is they are denying benefits. They've changed the autism spectrum definition so that Asperger's, for example, which is defined as a high functioning person suffering from autism, but they're very high functioning. That has been removed, so people who have children with Asperger's syndrome will no longer be getting any benefits or any help. And, of course, you look at the autism rate since they've jacked up all the vaccination rates.
What I understood here in North America, it jumped from 1 in several thousand, 3,000 or 4,000, now to 1 in 60.
That's right.
And mostly boys.
That's right. And, of course, what they're targeting is our population growth. And already the sperm count of the human male in North America, and in fact around the world, has dropped 50% over the last 50 years. So people now have a 50% chance of reproducing themselves as opposed to what they would have had 50 years ago. And at the same time, they're pushing abortion, they're pushing all kinds of stuff, and everything that they're pushing is something that does not reproduce.
It basically goes in the line of the agenda of the Georgia Guidestones.
Yes, and Agenda 21, yes.
No, well, and the Georgia Guidestone targeted population, maximum population number on this planet to be 500 million.
Yeah, half a billion people. And that's a lot of killing, because we've got nearly 8 billion on the planet now. So you're talking about vast numbers dying. Now, what they're doing, of course...
That might be of interest there. I think in 2009, Dr. Eric Pianca, he gave a speech at the Texas University, at the well-known Texas University, and he advocated the killing of 90% of the world's population, and his favorite means was the aerial release of Ebola virus.
Not only that, the son of a gun got a standing ovation for that speech.
Yep.
He got a standing ovation for it.
Anybody who listens, people wake up. There's no more time to sit on the fence line.
No, that's for sure. There's no more time. I mean, we are actively being destroyed at this point in time. But Werner, I really want to get back to your own story, because I tell you, I mean, I don't know anybody who has been targeted the way you have, and I'm concerned that people really don't know what was done to you at your farm, and I really want them to know, because this has been going on for a while now, and it seems to be getting worse. The more active and more vocal you are, the worse it gets for you, which is a very, very hard row to hoe. As we all know, it's not fun to fight off the authorities, but you have been doing that. And this past week, we heard that you were in court and sent for a psychiatric assessment. Now they're trying to tell us all you're crazy.
Well, I asked the last week on last Thursday, I had to appear in court. That's when the judge wanted to make the announcement about his decision, about the court proceedings, where I had represented myself on three different court appearances, and I did that what a lawyer should have done for me, but I did not trust the lawyers, and the experience I've made with lawyers in court, I want to basically sum it up. In 2000, when upon false accusations from the Department of Environment, I was being dragged into court. I was completely a novice about the judicial system. So I went around to different lawyers, and one lawyer said to me, anybody who defends himself in court, he is a fool for a lawyer. And after my first court appearance, and this kind of a defense I got from my lawyer, where he could have had the case thrown out right in the beginning, I came to the conclusion, and anybody who pays a lawyer money is an even bigger fool.
Mm-hmm. Well, they do swear an oath to the crown. And because they swear an oath to the crown, that puts them all in trouble.
No, they swear an oath to the bar. It's an entity in London.
Yeah, but I watched my daughter get sworn in to the bar. Okay,
yeah.
And yeah, they take an oath to the bar, but included in that is the crown, because that is the crown.
Yeah, and as I say, here in Canada, lawyers are judges are lawyers. They get appointed. Crown prosecutors are lawyers, and they're supposed to be then on opposite side or at neutral, but they swear an oath to the same entity. So there is basically a certain brotherhood there.
Oh, there's an absolute brotherhood there. And then you look at how many MPs are lawyers.
Yeah.
How many people are lawyers?
But anyway, I just want to sum it up there. Last week, on the 19th of September, Judge Troy Sweet at the Moncton Provincial Court wanted to announce his decision. I had three terms with him in court, from when I had to testify and when I was questioned, the Crown's witnesses, and there was another monkey business. The witnesses I had subpoenaed, they all were being disallowed, and the only witnesses that were allowed were the witnesses from the Crown, you know. And one witness, an RCMP officer who had made a statement that was written down in Dr. Charles Mallet, the veterinarian, and the RCMP officer had stated, according to Dr. Mallet, that stated that I parked my machinery below the road in the pasture in an H and an I to send a message to the aliens that are high-flying over my farm.
Yeah.
It was complete nonsense. There was not one single word. On the 11th of June, 2011, in the court of Judge Jolene Richard, there was not a single word being mentioned. But this was being written by Mark Genius from the CBC Moncton. And then from then, every dog picked it up like a stinking bone and dragged it over the internet. It made me look out like an idiot.
Yeah, well, all of the video that you present online kind of makes that rather moot, doesn't it?
And I mean, especially where the most attacks came from those fringe websites, you know, that were looking for ghosts and UFOs and everything else. And before I resort to ghosts and UFOs as an explanation, I look at the terrestrial evidence that's around.
Exactly. And weren't you at one point saying that you could basically tell from the directionality of the wounds and all of that stuff pretty much where it was coming from? It was coming from
I even
farm.
Have seen the laser beams where they originated. And
yeah.
Most of them, what I saw, they came from the house next door that is built on a lot that used to be an old school out schoolhouse jotting right into the pasture. And subsequently, the animals had holes burned right into the udder, cooked right into the udder, and into the body, and the size correspondent with the size of the deep red intensive light beam. I saw through the glass of the front door beaming in the direction where the cows were laying on the side hill in the afternoon sun and resting.
So somebody... Some dear humanitarian, kind, compassionate person targeted innocent animals with laser beams, burning them, causing them extreme discomfort, causing them...
Not just the discomfort. On that occasion, the cows that were laying there, within a week, they had deep holes burned,
yeah,
cooked right into the others, 2 to 3 inches deep. It
keep
was
talking,
such a trauma.
Keep talking,
underneath, up, and within a week, they were dead.
Yeah.
I have still some animals who have those scars, you know, and it's all documented. Everything was being reported to the RCMP and to the SPCA, you know, and it is outright disgraceful.
Absolutely.
Call that organization the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. I call them the Rotten Canadian Mounted Police. They are a disgrace to every honest Canadian that's around.
Well, you know, we've
fewer
heard some...
and fewer the honest Canadians and the upright Canadians. But well, they have to go out and bomb the Nazis, you know, and bomb the Muslims and teach them the errors of their way.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've heard some pretty nasty stuff about RCMP over the last couple of years, I can tell you that. And I have yet to see any kind of explanation or any kind of improvement or any kind of investigation going on that would assure Canadians that their interests are being protected by said RCMP. In fact, we have had evidence presented even on this program where witnesses are saying that they know that the RCMP is involved in some pretty nasty stuff, especially in British Columbia. And then we've got more evidence showing that people who are involved with the RCMP, some of them have pretty sketchy backgrounds themselves and have pretty sketchy histories. But
I'm going to tell you something. Some of the guys that would show up here in uniform, you know, young fellas, you know, they look to me like they have picked them up downtown Toronto off the street.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much how a lot of them look these days. They're bursting out of their shirts because they work out so much. They look like super soldiers, you know, and they shave their heads and they try to look all scary.
Listen, what is their mandate? Isn't their mandate to serve and protect the people of this country?
Well, you see, here's the thing, Werner. The phrase is to serve and protect, but it doesn't say to serve whom or protect whom.
Well, I was living always under the impression their mandate was to serve and protect the people in
Canada. That's what they want us to think. You know,
and
to
what
serve
I've
and
seen
protect.
Here in New Brunswick over the last few months, where people peacefully protesting, you know, especially the native people, against the fracking, you know, the shale gas exploration and the fracking with all the inherent danger, where people were peacefully protesting the way they behaved against the peaceful protesters.
I want to add something in here, Werner, because it's very important and it's really current. I have word from the Eagle Watch News that they're planning now. This is the Canadian Nuclear Safety Association. They're planning and plotting a deep geologic repository for nuclear waste. They're calling it low to medium level nuclear waste, which would include things like hazard suits and brooms and mops and things that are used in the nuclear facility that have become radioactive and toxic, but they are not fuel rods. They want to build a kilometer long repository 600 and some meters below the surface of the earth, cased in limestone, a deep geological repository by the Bruce Nuclear Power Facility in Ontario. And they are having hearings on that now. Now, what I have heard over the last couple of days from Eagle Watch is that people are being visited by CSIS and the RCMP and being questioned as to what do you know about any violence planned for these hearings and protests. So they are saying that they are preparing for any eventuality, but they are also providing the assumption that if you happen to be native or if you happen to be against something, you are therefore a potentially violent demonstrator and or slash domestic terrorist. And quite frankly, I, as a Canadian with valid concerns, I am incensed and outraged at that characterization of people who are just concerned for their health and the well-being of this nation. I am outraged that these people would go around and try and intimidate people from their right to speak. And I think that every Canadian ought to stand up for their right to speak, because if they don't, it's like anything else. You can plant a garden, but if you don't tend it, it's not going to produce a crop.
Well, as I say, the mandate of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, their mandate is not to be a corporate goon squad.
Yeah, well, this is exactly what they seem to have turned into. And if that's not the case, let's see it, boys. I would be so happy to be able to change my opinion on that. It's not like Canadians and others who are protesting would not be very, very happy if the people who are causing them to protest and giving them reason to speak out were to change their ways, change their views, at least consider what's being said, at least get the evidence for what they're saying. We would be more than happy, all of us, I'm sure, to see things go in a healthy, productive, peaceful, and progressive way. All of us would. But we're all now being characterized, as you were characterized last week, as an Utbar. You know, we are now trouble. We are now terrorists of a sort. And quite frankly, I'm really sick of being characterized because I've got, you know, a mind of my own and I've got a voice of my own. I'm sick and tired of being told, well, therefore you're a problem. And I'm sick and tired of having people like you who are simply blowing the whistle on something that everybody ought to be concerned with and having you characterized and having your work characterized. Because you've done an incredible service. You've done more of a service to this country with your work, I feel, than a whole lot of the RCMP have ever even thought of doing. And you haven't been compensated for it. In fact, you've been persecuted for it.
But 38 years.
38 years. Isn't this lovely? Isn't this lovely? What a nice free country we live in, eh, folks?
And those deadbeats in uniform that have covered it up, they retire with a big fat pension.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And, you know, they have the court system is kind of an interesting thing, too, because most people don't realize that there are a lot of levels of court in this country. They've got a court for just about everything. But they don't all call them courts. They call them boards, and they call them tribunals, and all that kind of stuff. And yet when people go in there, they're ordered around as though it's a court, which means that they're running under court rules. At least they're supposed to be running under the rules of justice. These principles include things like the principle of stare decisis. That means let the decision stand. Okay.
In regard to the courts and what's going on with the laws, I got an email today. It was very interesting. I was kind of flabbergasted. Here in New Brunswick, according to the law, they have gone now so far out of their way. When somebody goes in the woods and just mimics a moose call, that is considered already illegal hunting.
Uh-huh.
So
how nice.
If they keep that up, they might as well put a big roof over North America and call it the big North American loony bin.
Yeah, well, they got a TV show on now called Under the Dome. I wonder if that's what they're planning.
Yeah, with that harp, you know, they probably can accomplish that.
Well, I mean, they energetically, they probably certainly could, because we know that they've got, I mean, when you talk to somebody like, you mentioned Barry Trower. Now, Barry Trower, of course, is very, very well known around the world for his work on electromagnetic frequencies, but we've got a couple of experts here in Canada that are as knowledgeable. One of them is Jerry Flynn. Now, Jerry Flynn we've had on this program a couple of times. And Jerry was 33 years in the Canadian military, and he was working on EMF weaponry. That was his job. He was developing and assessing and working on electromagnetic frequency weapons, the same variety of weapons, by the way, that a lot of people feel were used on the World Trade Center to make it disintegrate and fall in free fall as dust, to pulverize it. And these weapons are extremely powerful. Now, Jerry in BC, he's now retired, he's in his 70s, and he is kicking some serious government butt. And what he's saying is that there is no level at which electromagnetic frequencies are not dangerous. There's no level at which they're not dangerous. And in order for him to get his point across, he's making the point that these things were developed first as weapons. You know, then they've got technological applications. These technological applications are not any safer than the weapons are. They're just watered down a lot.
It's supposed to be for peaceful purposes.
Uh-huh. But
is there anything what the government does nowadays? And so many things they do in a clandestine way.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you.
Are for peaceful purposes?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, there's one thing that they've messed up on seriously, and it's going to come back to bite them, and I hope a lot of people pay attention to what I'm just going to say right now. There's a little thing called the precautionary principle.
Yep.
The precautionary principle is now, according to BC Hydro spokespeople and according to government spokespeople all over the place, it is now an international standard. What does the precautionary principle mean? It means that nothing should be sold unless it is proven to be risk-free or it is proven to be risk-manageable. And that is a system that they are using all around the world to deny us access to things like herbs and supplements.
And who sets the standard for the principle?
Sorry?
Who sets the standards for that principle?
You know, that's a curious point, Werner, because I don't know that anybody really knows who started that, but here's my point. They use it against us. They use it against us all the time on stupid things like oregano oil and parsley. They tell us these things can be dangerous. And applying the precautionary principle, they force people who produce natural health products to go through hundreds of thousands of dollars in testing.
As I say, government has become, all branches of government, they've become like a behemoth, you know. They have become so cumbersome, and the positive benefits from it become fewer and fewer, and they become more and more a nuisance, you know.
Yeah.
And they are being used by the other side in order to achieve their detrimental purposes for this planet and for the life on this planet.
Yes, but here's the point, Werner. They all know it. They all know, all the government officials know the precautionary principle. It has been rammed down their throats to make them think that the ones directing all this stuff are in full possession of their faculties. They use the precautionary principle to enforce it. And I'm saying, if they're enforcing against us with the precautionary principle, what is preventing the people from turning around and saying, just a minute here, if you're going to use the precautionary principle and you're going to tell us that this is an international standard, then we demand that you apply this precautionary principle across the board. And that means on smart meters, on Wi-Fi, on ELF technologies of all varieties, any kind of energy beam, weapon, or appliance or product should be cleared through the precautionary principle before it ever touches the market. And these people are not using it. They are speaking through both sides of their mouth. They are being discriminatory. They are using the precautionary principle to push their own crap on us. But they will not use the precautionary principle when we say we need protection. So I'm saying, hey, if it's an international standard, so be it. But you're going to use it on your stuff, not just against the people. Because it's sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander, is it not?
Yep. And
well,
And basically, what is the track record of the government for at least the last 100 years?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, ruthless.
Used
people for medical experiments and everything.
Yep.
Killed a lot of people. What did they do to the native people?
Just to give you an example, like I'm hearing all kinds of stuff. I heard directly from a patient. This was a few years ago. I heard directly from a patient in a hospital that a nurse walked in with medication for him, and he said to the nurse, "What is that and what's it for?" And she said, "Oh, shut up and take your medicine so we can get our bonus."
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, people are being put on protocols in hospitals now that are actually, they're actually being experimented on. Nurses and doctors are being bonused. Hospitals are being bonused by pharma for using their product. That is not what medicine is about. And if people do not inform themselves and start objecting, now we're seeing powers of attorney are being ignored. People can sign powers of attorney, and they're ignored completely, and the courts are ignoring them. And that basically tells you, internationally, we've lost our individual rights. We've lost them entirely, and our government has sold us out.
And when it is being given into the hands of the courts, there again, it should be looked into who benefits.
Yes, and now I'm seeing...
The pension funds of the judges, private investment portfolios and everything. It is in the government officials, ministers, deputy ministers, they're all tied to shares in the multinational corporations.
Absolutely they are.
Don't have any shares, for example, in the small family farm or the small family-owned business, but they are invested in the shares in the big corporations. So
yes,
there is the biggest conflict of interest where people just plain keep walking by. It is a big elephant in the room.
Yes, it is. Speaking of elephants in the room, Werner, I have to mention I've had a number of beeps on my line, on my phone line, which, of course, I can't answer because I'm on air with you. But the beeps have been coming from none other than Dr. Holmes. So, Dr. Holmes, if you're listening, if you're listening, best you call the station's call-in line because I can't answer this phone while I'm on air or I lose Werner. So,
go ahead. You know, I'm basically the third.
Well, no, we were in midpoint, and you know, if I go to the other line, then we go to absolute silence unless you're talking. So, I don't want to put our listeners through that. There is a call-in number at the station, so he can call that number. And if he wants to come on, of course, you know, I know he's at an event in downtown Ottawa today. And this is why he's not with us, but I don't know exactly where he's calling from, but I do know that he's tried a couple of times to get through. So, Dr. Holmes, if you're still listening, try the station call-in line because that's the only one that can get answered right now. At any rate, I'm hoping that he wants to jump in because usually if he does, he's got something to say.
Yeah, as I say, you know, I'm basically the third wheel on there, and I appreciate very much.
Well, you know what? There's a whole lot of three-wheeled vehicles out there that run pretty well these days, aren't there?
I've seen lots of three-wheeled vehicles after the war in the old country.
Exactly, and now they're spreading over here. It's a situation where the more voices, the merrier. And, you know, the more of us are aware, the less these people can get away with. I mean, I got an email the other day, and basically what it was doing is pointing the finger at all these members of Parliament and pointing the finger at members of Congress. I'm going, wait a minute. You point a finger at them, and like the old native saying says, you point a finger, there are three more pointing back at you. And as far as I'm concerned...
I think that's a little bit of an extreme.
Maybe so, but on the other hand, we have allowed it. We have said, oh, well, you can't fight City Hall and we went back to our miserable little lives, and we didn't pay attention, and we didn't open our mouths, and we didn't yell at these people, and we didn't enforce anything, and now behind our back they're doing everything against us. How surprising is this?
And what I found out over the years is one of their tactics to make you insecure and create an inferiority complex.
Exactly. They make you dependent.
You know?
Yeah.
We have to shore up and make sure whatever we are presenting, basically, the way the saying goes, that it is hand and foot, that it is solid information.
Yeah.
You know?
And, of course, they own mainstream media, and I remember, you know, the famous speech of Mr. Rockefeller there at the New York Press Club, where he thanked the media for their participation and said they couldn't have gotten where they got without the media and without them keeping their secrets and all this kind of stuff. And of course, we know that's true because, I mean, even John Rappaport came out with a column yesterday called "What if a major news anchor actually told the truth? What would happen?"
I don't know if it is, but over the last few years, I had quite a learning curve.
I
understood the Rockefellers, they don't have quite such a glorious gene pool. Several generations back, he was basically a snake oil salesman.
Uh-huh. Well,
and
he continues to be.
And as soon as his customers caught on that his cures he was peddling weren't up to snuff, he had left town. He had skipped town and run the same scheme somewhere else.
Yeah, well, he's still running it. The whole family's still running it, aren't they? Because as far as I'm concerned, when you look at how the medical cartel is run these days, it's all bogus. The good doctors are being squelched, you know, with standards of practice. They are narrowing the standards of practice and literally selecting the protocols that doctors are allowed to use under certain diseases. Like, for instance, if you are diagnosed with, say, COPD, which is chronic obstructive
pulmonary
disease, which is anything respiratory. Okay, they are restricted in the number of and types of drugs they can use to treat those conditions. And those lists of drugs that they can use are getting smaller and smaller and smaller, because what's happening is the list is now including more drugs with active patents than drugs that are expired patents and have gone to generic where people can get them cheaper. And essentially what's going on there is that goes back to the TRIPS rules, trade-related intellectual property rules, which guarantee the profitability of patents. Then you look at the fact that Eli Lilly, the makers of Prozac, our favorite drug, okay, Prozac, its patent has expired along with one of their other drugs, and it's been around for a long time, had its patent extended at least once or twice by the Canadian government. This time the Canadian government said, no, you've been patented long enough. So they took the patent. Now Eli Lilly is saying, you're not protecting our profitability, so they're suing Canadians for $500 million.
You mentioned their obstructive pulmonary disease.
Yeah.
Here I want to come in. One of the reasons why I'm on the show for the listeners to look up on YouTube "Farmers or Deer," where I, in the line of investigating the death of the animals, because I was being misled, lied to by the veterinarians, I had to resort to doing autopsies. And I documented there the damage to the lungs and the cardiopulmonary system of the animals.
Yeah, that and, you did, and I've seen them.
And it basically opened my eyes. And it is not rocket science. I explain it in there. And I consulted with the scientists who had done the research, where they basically have been using the atmospheric air as a deadly weapon by modifying it with the heat-producing frequency focused on the nose of the animals, oxidize the atmospheric nitrogen. And then when the unfortunate creature, be it an animal or a human being, breathes it in, when it comes in contact, the nitrogen oxide, when it comes with the mucous membrane, with the moisture, it forms nitric acid, one of the most corrosive acids. And when that gets in the lungs, it can mean either instant death or lingering death. Or when at lower levels, over a long period of time, it causes massive damage to the lungs and to the bronchial tubes, and so leads to asthma and everything, chronic inflammation.
Lovely. And of course, when you add in several factors here, let's look at three things that look like they're disjointed. Okay, you've got chemtrails going on.
As I say, we living in a whole vicious cauldron now.
Yeah.
And
well,
who is producing the vicious cauldron, and who developed the ingredients in that vicious cauldron? Those that have been sent mostly with taxpayers' money to university.
Exactly.
And only a small fraction of the ones that come back from university, they are of any kind of a benefit to society.
Yeah, exactly. Now, let's explain to people how these things work, okay? You've got a couple of different factors here. First of all, you've got nano-vaccines being produced, and people are being jammed. Our children are getting up to like 30 and more vaccines in the first couple of years of their lives. Every one of those shots contains very, very toxic ingredients, including heavy metals, including aluminum. And then we have our chemtrails, which are dumping aluminum, barium, and titanium, and God knows what else on us, and basically
manganese.
making us more conductive. Okay, then you add in the smart meters. Okay, so our bodies, our plants, our animals, everything is now conductive, more so than ever before. And what that means is that these elements working together can cause us major disease, major problems, and no fingers can be pointed because there's multiple factors involved. This is how they're playing it. And, you know, if you can't see how these dots connect, you need to take a look, because they're not doing anything in an isolated way. All of this is all coordinated. The stuff that you've gone through, that your animals were subjected to, the chemtrails, the vaccines, the water, everything that they are doing is making us more conductive, and it's a simple matter to kill us off once we are.
Basically, they have they're in the process of booby trapping all life forms on this planet to become, most of them, the natural life forms, become extinct, and then replace them with their new creations.
Yeah.
They're in the laboratories, and that includes human beings.
Yeah, their new creations are all patented, by the way. They're all patented. And this is why the whole control and this one world government that they're planning, in order for them to do that, they had to get rid of national sovereignties. Now, in order to get rid of national sovereignties, what they needed was a level of law that superseded national sovereignties. So they created that with these trade rules and trade agreements. Now you've got national governments signing their country into an agreement that is enforceable, that supersedes their local and regional laws, that the people cannot protest against, because the only entity that can complain about it and then doesn't get a fair hearing on it. They basically get to speak to their own trade group about it. And if the trade group doesn't want it, guess what? We don't get it. So everything that we have, we are sewn up like a sweater around this earth. If you take a look at how many trade agreements there are and between what countries, and then you add in the TRIPS patent protection rules, they are protecting their money. They are not protecting people. Everything that they are doing is to remove our power of self-rule, which is our sovereignty. Every single thing they're doing.
They're heavy from the top-down government.
Exactly.
What kind of murderous entities they have been over the last 100 years, especially.
Exactly.
Centralized government where the people at the local level lose completely control over their lives.
Well, you know, I'd say the last time that this kind of thing happened, I think it was 1789 in France.
No,
when they had
it
the French Revolution.
The Soviet Union. It happened in China.
Uh-huh.
With a total death toll of at least 200 million people. And
yeah.
It happened in some more incidences, you know. And people have to start waking up. When we are being ruled, central rule, where their ivory towers are now maybe half removed halfway around the world, we don't have a chance. They don't have our best at heart. When the people rule themselves at the local level, they can take care of themselves. But as soon as those control freaks start ruling over us and controlling our lives, that's when there will be a massive carnage to humanity and everything on this planet.
Yeah, well, this is what they're planning. And, of course, they've got their seed repository up in Norway, and they've got, you know, underground cities that they've built. And, you know, if you can't see the writing on the wall now, people, I have to tell you, take off the mask. Take off the cover over your eyes, you know, because it's obvious. You don't have to dig deep for any of this stuff. And it isn't just on conspiracy websites. It's on websites like the World Trade Organization, the Canadian government websites, the U.S. government websites. Information that will tell you what's going on is on the mainstream sites. And, of course, a lot of it has to do with informed consent, our right to refuse things based on informed consent. Well, the thing is, what they do, in that case, they want to avoid us having our informed consent, but they need to make it look like we were asked for it. And so, consequently, what they do is they put information in places where they know we won't look. They hide them in plain sight, but they don't tell you where to look. So, as a consequence of that, you don't look. And then, as a consequence of that, you don't know. And then you are stuck with something, and when you go and say, wait a minute, I never agreed to this, they go, oh, but we had it on the website. It's been there all along. Didn't you see it? Where were you? They reverse the onus, and they put it back on you and say, it was there all along. So this is how they pull it. They hide it.
Is this what it boils down to? that there are too many in government employment, you know, and they all have to create caseloads, and where there are no troubles, they have to create troubles in order to get as many of them and their buddies and family members, get them on the government gravy train.
Uh-huh.
But the gravy train starts running out of steam.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, the gravy train doesn't have much farther to go before there aren't any people on it except the elite. And when that kind of polarization happens, I wouldn't want to be the guy walking down the street with a lunchbox, because
yeah.
It's going to make you're going to be as much of a target when they're destroying our food sources, they're destroying our air, they're destroying our water, okay? They've destroyed literally, or come close to destroying literally, everything that we live on that's healthy.
Yeah,
you know.
And earlier you mentioned there about the nuclear deposits, you know?
Yeah. repository,
and so, and I've been asking myself over the years many times, for what reason, what kind of a reason is here in Canada that electricity has to be produced by the use of nuclear power?
Yeah, we have so many
Much sustainable and renewable resources. You know,
well, exactly.
Like,
geothermal, solar, and some varieties of wind, although we know that the wind towers that they're plunking on people's properties are doing major damage. There are wind technologies that don't do that damage. One of them comes from True North Power, which is near Kitchener in Ontario, and they have a phenomenal system where they're using wind machines that do not do the damage that the big towers do. And they've had it for years. And, gee, ask me how much support these guys can get out of the Canadian government. Try nothing. No support out of the Canadian government. Then you have the Zencar. Okay, the Zencar, which is produced in Quebec, is a fabulous little vehicle that holds four people and a good deal of cargo and runs entirely on electricity. Okay? This car is available for, I believe it's $12,000. Ask me if the Canadian government will support such a vehicle. No, they won't. So what's their agenda? If they are truly wanting to save power, why are they not supporting the smaller entrepreneurs who are producing such good products? Why are they only supporting the big guys?
See, that's where it comes in, what I've been facing over the years, where they gradually try to phase out the family farms.
Oh, yeah, and we've lost how many since NAFTA? You know, as of a few years ago, we had lost 50,000 farms thanks to NAFTA and just since NAFTA. And since then, we've been steadily losing family farms. Now, I know for a fact that in the province of Ontario, in the Green Belt, which is some of the most fertile land in the entire country, you can get a farm down there of 100 acres, which admittedly is not a very big farm, but you can get a farm with a farmhouse and everything else, 100 acres, for about $150,000. Now, that's outrageous compared to the value of these farms a few years ago. These farms are now disappearing. They're too small to be sustainable business-wise.
Listen, this, I beg to differ. It just depends which way the farm is being used. And this is what I've been documenting now for the last 40 years, what has led here in the east and in the northeast of the United States to the demise of farming, where regions that at one time had a surplus production of food, of agricultural products. This region here in the northeast, it imports now 90% of the food.
Yeah,
and
that's
what
ridiculous.
I've been documenting, there has been an environmental crimes have been going on now for at least, I would say, my estimate, I've documented for 40 years, but my estimation is that it has been going on at least for the last 60, maybe even 70 years. Illegal dumping of vegetation control chemicals, a la Agent Orange and the like, on farmland.
Uh-huh. But not where and not only that, but you got to look at what's Monsanto doing. Monsanto and other biotech companies are creating seeds for farmers that are aluminum resistant and low light resistant. So what are they doing? They're making
the conditions they have created with the dispersal of metal particulates,
exactly.
And it is important to check up out the website Arizona Skywatch, where over 3 years, I think from 2009 on, they did air sampling after heavy chemtrail spraying. And the list is there of the horrendous increase in toxic metal particulates in the air, what the people were breathing in, what dissipated on the ground, what got into the open bodies of water and everything, and
exactly.
It's outright scary. Aluminum
exactly.
levels were 15 times above the allowable toxic limit. Arsenic I think it was 400 and sometimes, but I don't want to quote the wrong figures. But there is another scary part. The manganese levels were over 500 times above the allowable toxic limit. And manganese is a more potent, more dangerous neurotoxin than lead or mercury.
Yes, and in the meantime, like I said, these
Where is the Department of the Environment? Where are the watchdogs? We are paying with our tax money.
They're protecting the patents of the international companies according to international law. That's where they are. And these international companies are basically creating the seeds, the only kind of seeds that can survive the conditions that they are producing. Now, interestingly enough, all these crops that they're introducing are all failing. They're all failing. Their yields are not as promised. Nothing is as promised. You've got a whole bunch of, there's about 1,500 farmers a month are committing suicide over in India now because they got sucked into growing BT cotton and BT crops over there. That's Bacillus thuringiensis is the bacteria that they derive this Roundup from, this Roundup pesticide that is grown into the plants. Now, unfortunately, when you plant a BT variety, they require a lot of irrigation. Well, you don't get a lot of irrigation in India. It's a very dry, arid
well,
country.
And after they've done irrigation for so many years, then the soil solidifies, you know?
Yep.
The soil content becomes too high in the soil.
Oh yeah, and I mean, we know for a fact that all of our produce that is used for food in North America, it is all being affected by low quality soil that's been over fertilized, over pesticided, chemtrailed, flooded, droughted, and you know, I mean, then we can get into the weather technologies, and it starts to get really, really scary. Because our weather isn't even our own anymore. And they've had weather modification patents, including the ones on HAARP. If anybody tries to tell me that HAARP is merely a research project, I'm going to tell them to go into the patent office and see what the patent is for it. The patent says for weather modification.
This might be of interest. You know, most of the listeners, they have access to the Internet. And I came across a while ago about when people are doubting that about chemtrails. Let them Google up chemtrails, 1930. I don't know if you have seen that picture. They laid out a chemtrail in order to hide the bombers behind.
Uh-huh.
So they couldn't be seen by the anti-aircraft guns.
Yeah, well, they would have called that fogging.
it was done by the use of chemicals.
Yeah, and you have to also understand that the U.S. military has used Canadians as experimental guinea pigs on a number of occasions. In fact, I myself was a victim of experimentation by the U.S. military when they were testing pesticides, and they sprayed the city of Winnipeg, where I lived, with pesticide. Okay, now that's what they said it was, pesticide.
Of the swarms with an insecticide to kill the mosquitoes.
Yeah, well, that's what they claimed it was, except that it wasn't. It wasn't an insecticide at all. We were used to having DDT sprayed on our street when the mosquitoes were thick and heavy in Manitoba, as they often are. We would have DDT sprayed down our street in the middle of the night, and everybody would frantically close their windows and wait for it to all clear before they opened it up again. But this was not pesticide, certainly not pesticide alone. What it was a low-level virus, a flu, and they were testing how the flu would basically move around the city if an airborne virus were released. And so that was when I can remember I was a kid and everybody was sick with the flu. And it wasn't
I remember
just
the flu. In the 70s, CBC, they interviewed on As It Happens, someone from, I think it was San Francisco or Los Angeles. And they found out that the American military had dispersed nerve gases in the subway system. I don't know which city has it. And they found out, and that day, what they said, three people they killed over with a heart attack.
Uh-huh.
This was reported on the CBC.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, people think they're protected, and they think that the government isn't going to do any harm to anybody innocent. And that is, like, you're living in a fairy tale if you think that's the case. It's an absolute fairy tale. These people, they don't care about any of us. As far as they're concerned, we're just another sheep on the farm. They don't care. And they're prepared to cull their herds because the herds are too big for the land that they've got. That's their reasoning.
And as I say, this refers back to the Georgia Guidestones.
Yeah, back to the Georgia Guidestone. And the fact of the matter is, there's enough food on this planet. Like, Americans waste at least a third of their own food. They waste
Look,
it. They got
yeah, I want to throw
starving.
Something in. I looked at I look at the figures and statistics, too. I live in New Brunswick. And about 60 years ago, 70 years ago, the province was, in the Maritimes, they were pretty well self-sufficient in food production.
Mm-hmm.
But then the experts came in the Department of Agriculture, and they told the farmers how to farm. And then with all the dirty tricks, they covered up in the meantime.
Yeah.
Now the food production here in New Brunswick has dropped down that per square kilometer there is just enough food produced to feed a little bit more than one person. 90% of the food is being imported now.
Yeah.
Thanks to the great expertise passed out by the experts, you know, kept there in the Department of Agriculture, courtesy of the taxpayers of the province.
Yeah, and quite frankly, Werner, I wouldn't let most of these guys run an elevator because they can't tell up from down.
And when I left over there, Germany, in 1969 and came here to New Brunswick, we were producing with basically traditional sustainable methods of agriculture. Sure, we had to resort to some of the agricultural chemicals because of lack of help on the farm, you know. But the basis of the farming was the traditional methods, you know, you maintain the soil, the health of the soil and everything. We were producing enough food per square kilometer to feed over 200 people.
Uh-huh.
And we didn't ask the fellas in the Department of Agriculture, you know.
Well,
and
you
here
know,
they want to stick their nose into everything what's not their beeswax, you know? And what
well,
you
will
be recognized by the fruits they bear, you know?
Well, you know
those
what?
Those kind of deadbeats and idiots I've encountered over the years. An outright criminal cover-up, interfering in criminal investigation, and destroying evidence that had been secured in the line of a criminal investigation,
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
And then the RCMP to the rescue. They were covering it up. And afterwards, when I contacted in succession over the period of 2 years, two crown prosecutors, the first one, he said to me, I don't dare to touch it. If I touch it, I get fired. You know,
uh-huh.
3 months later, he was mentioned in the CBC News that he had been charged with sexual assault. Forward 2 years, I contacted another crown prosecutor at the same provincial courthouse in Moncton. You know, he didn't want to do anything. I wanted him to investigate destruction of evidence that had been secured in the line of a criminal investigation, which is a criminal offense, you know?
Yeah, well, let's look at another case that is enough to turn your hair, too. The guy in Ontario who basically consulted on educational protocols, this is for the Department of Education, Ministry of Education, that has to do with human sexuality, okay? And we're talking about the protection of homosexuality, the protection of gay rights, transgendered rights, transsexual rights, all this kind of stuff. And then I want to tell a little story because this is really quite humorous, although it's disgusting.
Listen,
this guy, now let me finish here. This guy who was responsible for the introduction of all kinds of really egregious stuff into our educational system, starting with our children at very, very young ages, kindergarten on up, he just got arrested for possession of kiddie porn.
Hallelujah. Praise be the Lord.
Yeah, really.
Every
really.
Thought there is a ray of light.
Well, it's a small ray of light, but the thing that gets me is this is a guy who dictated policy, and despite the fact that he's under arrest, nobody is examining the policies that he promoted. And I'm going, hang on here. You've got a guy who's got a particular perversion. Do you not think that perversion might be reflected in what he was recommending to our government? Just a touch? So
this
here
is
we are.
The agenda.
Exactly.
They will push everything to the kingdom of the beast. The one-world government.
Yeah, exactly. One-world government, and that means all rights have to be removed, all sovereignties have to be removed, borders have to be used only to define regions, not countries. These nationhoods that we are were raised in with patriotic pride and all that kind of crap, okay, all of this is being dismantled. And it has been in the plans for a very, very long time. I hear a lot of people say, oh, the protocols of the learned and elders of Zion, is this is nothing but Nazi propaganda. Well, it was around long before the Nazis were. And it sure reflects the guidestones pretty well, doesn't it?
And look at the prime example of this trend. Look at the map of the state of Israel.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
How much do the Palestinians
like
still have left of their own country, of their own land?
Yeah, it's growing like a cancer across Palestine and Gaza.
Who are the victims?
Well, it ain't the Israelis. You know another telling thing?
No.
Okay.
It ain't the Palestinian people. The Palestinian people are the victims. They basically got only about 8 or 9% of the total of their total country left.
I know. And on top of that, if you want to look at, and there was a question posed to me last week and to a whole bunch of people on lists across the country. The question was posed, okay, if you want to know who's behind all the vaccines and the autism that's coming from vaccines, kind of an interesting point to note that the autism rate in Israel has not moved, not one little tick from the beginning.
I have to disagree. What I've read about, they have a very high autism rate of every 50s or 60s.
Not in Israel. Not in Israel. It's everywhere else, but not in Israel. And what was coming out of that discussion was that there are two types of vaccines, and depending on who you are and what stratum of society you're in, you may be taking a vaccine that's harmless. And you will never know. You go to your doctor, you never know what they're jamming in your arm. They're not going to show you the package. These people were saying there's two types.
Look at Dr. Meyer Eisenstein.
Yes, I know who he is.
He practices in the Chicago area.
Yeah, I've met the man. I've met the man, okay? I met him at the Total Health Show a few years ago. I have great respect for him. But what he's saying about vaccines does not obviate the idea that there are two types.
Uh-huh.
So when you see, for example, a politician getting his flu shot to promote the flu vaccine to people, we have no idea what's going in his arm, do we? So, now what's interesting is Piers Morgan, you've heard of him.
Yeah, the Englishman.
Yeah, and he has now been offered $1 million to take a whole bunch of vaccines over the course of a month.
Uh-huh.
No response from Mr. Morgan yet. He's been pushing vaccines, you know, for his friend Bill Gates, and no response from him yet. There was a challenge that was posted online a number of years ago, where a guy offered, he started out with $10,000, and it's been up to $250,000, and they've never had a taker. And that was an offer of $10,000 to drink a vial of vaccine. Just drink it and see what happened. Okay? One medical professional was interested in the money.
You mentioned Dr. Meyer Eisenstein, or you responded to it.
Yeah.
What I understood, his principle is don't vaccinate until you educate, until the children have a certain immune system, a basic immune system developed.
Yeah, well, as far as I'm concerned,
newborn children jamming 10, 20, 30 vaccine into them.
Yeah, well, that's the case all over the world. And my point is, if there's anything toxic in a vaccine, that vaccine should never be administered because vaccine theory is bogus anyway. It's all been
a friend of mine in California, her son, at 2 years of age, he was fluent he was speaking fluently and everything. He got vaccinated, and he became autistic.
Oh, exactly. I mean, these things happen all the time. Now the courts are now actually giving awards of rather large amounts, you know, to people whose children have been damaged.
Mm-hmm. And I would like to, and some of the listeners or you look into, maybe research how much of, for example, we were talking earlier about GM-modified crops, how much GM-modified food from GM-modified crops is being served at the cafeteria in the House of Commons and at the Senate.
Well, you should ask how much GMO food is being served at Monsanto. And the answer
to that is
none.
I heard none.
None.
You know?
Yeah. Now, the head of publicity for Canada, who is a woman by the name of Trish Jordan, says to me, oh, that's not true. Well, really, but she's not in their head office in the States, and it has been confirmed that they don't serve GMO food at their head office. And I'm not so sure that Ms. Jordan is not lying when she says that, because, quite frankly, anything that comes out of Monsanto, I'm not going to give a second glance, because I know it's bogus. I know it's for a reason. I know they're protecting themselves. I know they're not going to protect people. They're not going to help people. That's not the business they're in. The business they're in is making money. That's what
listen,
they do.
When I was talking about earlier about this agricultural Watergate,
yeah,
illegal dumping of pesticides on farmland, one thing I've noticed over the last nearly 40 years, most of those chemicals were being dispersed by small aircraft, private aircraft, in a few instances, military aircraft that came from Gagetown, you know, the Canadian Armed Forces training base, or they came from Greenwood, or they would return, you know, the Canadian Air Force Base in Nova Scotia, right across the Bay of Fundy.
Yeah.
But one thing I noticed over the years, as soon as those planes were coming to this big farm here in the valley that has been supported by millions of dollars of government money, they turn around and make sure that nothing of those chemicals comes on that farm.
Exactly.
But about 30-some years ago, they had an accident, and there must have come a wind blast, and from the neighbor's field, there were thousands, a big swath of that chemical doused into that fellow's corn. And the corn was about as thick as a pencil, was about 4 feet tall, and all the corn plants were red.
Oh, lovely.
You know? But all those farmers that don't farm the Monsanto way, and that don't put much money into the pockets of the local chamber of commerce, those farmers have to be phased out. And I was put in order to stay alive. I couldn't afford spend a lot of money. So more than half of my machinery, it's homemade. And it was well performing, you know, over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't stuck with big machinery payments, which took most of the farmers under, financially mm-hmm. under, that bankrupted them.
Yeah.
And so I figured I had an ace in the hole. I could, you know, last a lot longer than the other farmers.
Yeah.
But it didn't fit into the business pattern here.
No, well,
what
they
I've
want,
seen here in the
you
Manchester,
know they want the Annapolis Valley. You know they want that. You know they want all the fertile areas.
Yeah, and as I say, Annapolis Valley, since you mentioned it, it is a very unique area. You know, they grow peaches there the same way on the southern side of the up at Berwick at the mountain, and so it's what I understand is a climate similar to down at the Niagara Peninsula.
Yeah.
You know, and in part of Nova Scotia, what is it, Malagash? They've, you know, Europeans came over, some of them Germans, and they planted vineyards, you know. And because of the more moderate climate, they don't get the heavy frost. It's moderated by the influence of the sea, you know. And but years ago, I came when I was looking at the situation about the way agriculture was basically forced out of the picture, except the big farms. You know, and I looked at it, and I thought at one time here in the Maritimes there was the economy was based on a barter system. You know, mm-hmm. very little money was changing hands. You know, people in one area along a road they would exchange goods. You know, or exchange it for helping each other and so on. And there was no money in for big business. Or very little money in for big business and very little money in for big government. And that system had to be destroyed. That means the self-sufficiency in the area had to be destroyed, that the people, that the what the people needed, especially food, that most likely it would be produced far away, thousands of miles away, hopefully halfway around the world, like beef, you know, produced in Australia, New Zealand and Argentina or Western Canada. You know,
mm-hmm.
and in an area where they have, where they had created a shortage, you know, ship it there and sell it for whatever the market will bear with maximum profit for the big companies.
Yeah.
And that is exactly the agenda the governments here have followed up.
That is the case. There's no question about that.
You know. And this is what I did some research and was being pretty well informed there on Diana Spingola and some of the hosts on RBN. And so I did some following up on the internet about the history, you know, in the tomato bubble and so on, and other informative sites that quoted the, basically had access to the original archives. And that is what was very much a thorn in the side of the big international world finance, when Deutschland was being put on their knees and they wanted it to bow down to the international bankers. And when the National Socialists came to power, they basically said to the international bankers, you know, go fly your kite. They did as little business as possible and they resorted in international trade to a barter system. So there was no money or very little money coming into the pockets of the international banking cartels,
mm-hmm.
and that naturally had to be eliminated.
Of course.
And
everything
and
they have
been following doing that now for the last few decades.
Yeah,
every country they bumped the hell out of it. The underlying purpose was they wanted to get them on their knees and join the International Monetary Fund.
Yeah. Well, bottom line, for those who are Star Trek fans, we are under the rule of Ferengi. Ferengi are, for those who don't know, they were a race that was invented by Star Trek creator Gene Roddenberry, and they were all about profit. And if you remember Star Trek DS9, where you had Quark, the Ferengi guy, who was they always had little plots going on how he could make profit and make money and take advantage over other people. And there was a whole race of them, and all they did was basically chase money. And these are the people, essentially, they're the ones who, I guess, Roddenberry's idea was to paint a picture of bankers, and that's what he did. Because
Ferengi, what about the other name? Rothschild and Rockefeller?
And J.P. Morgan. And then the Cargills, and, you know, there's 13 of them. There's 13 different families and all the offshoots of those families. And when you look at who's related to those families and you see how many of them have wound up in high levels of government, you go, oh, my. No wonder. But, you know, it's like that old Pogo cartoon. Remember the old Pogo cartoon that said, we have seen the enemy and he is us? Well, the truth of the matter is that the more asleep they can keep people, the less chance they have of being busted, exposed, arrested, and probably executed for their part in all of this.
That means, in other words, the criminals, in order to protect their butt, they try to get as many people to become guilty too. So in the end, there are not enough people left to point the accusing finger at them.
Exactly. Not only that, but they use scapegoats. If you have inexorably uncovered something that they have to take some kind of responsibility for, they pick some poor schlep who's underneath them, and they make this poor guy responsible for their own crimes and then claim they didn't know anything about it. He did it all by himself.
Well, basically, it's a tactic of using the fall guy.
Oh, yeah, the fall guy technique. And you know, a lot of people figure that Obama's going to be used as a fall guy. And, of course, he's not exactly looking too good in the ratings. His ratings right now, popularity-wise, are within a point or two of George W. Bush. Now, that's going some. So if he can't even outperform W., Obama's in deep, deep trouble.
Performing, he is outperforming Bush now in the negative figures.
Exactly, that's exactly what's happening. Totally negative figures. Not only that, but people are now saying that Bush was less of a war hawk than Obama. And then you look at all the things he's been pushing through Congress, the bills that he has sponsored, supported. And now there's a bill that's saying that, as I mentioned earlier, that Asperger's syndrome and other problems, autistic problems that are on the spectrum, are no longer going to be funded. And this law is going through Congress. Now, when exactly did Congress get qualified to practice medicine? I'd like to know, what business does Congress have practicing medicine?
Congress.
Yeah. Well, they named themselves appropriately now, didn't they?
And the party that ruled that Congress for many years, what was it? The Conservative Party.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And there are people calling the liberals the liberals. You know, I mean, degenerate party.
Republicans and the Democrats in Canada, the two big parties, the Liberals and the Conservatives, I compare them with the two boys in the schoolyard, the two bullies in the schoolyard.
Yeah.
Each one sits on one end of the teeter-totter, and
yeah,
they don't want to let anybody else get on the teeter-totter.
Yeah, well, I mean,
but any third party, third, fourth, or fifth party, even though there is plenty room on the teeter-totter.
Yeah.
In order
well,
to support
I find
democracy.
It real interesting. Find it real interesting that this week Elizabeth May, head of the Green Party and the Green Party's only elected MP, came out with the party system is destroying democracy. Well, hell, where's the news, Lizzie baby? I've been saying that since I was 18, and I'm now 64. So
and
where
listen,
were you?
The Green Party is not the solution. I've said for the last few years, they better don't go out in the rain.
Exactly.
Because the green color is going to wash off pretty fast.
Exactly.
I spoke to Elizabeth May several years back when she was here in Sussex at the cafe, and I gave her all the documentation about the environmental, the illegal dumping of pesticides on farmland and everything. You know, she did nothing. Neither the New Brunswick leader of the Green Party, David Kuhn, they've known about it and about what had been done to the animals for many years.
Uh-huh.
And they've done nothing.
Yeah, well, who founded the Green Party?
The Conservation Council, another environmental group here. I contacted the secretary of the Conservation Council, Stephanie Coburn, several years back, and I gave her the documentation about the environmental guard, the Watergate, and the agricultural Watergate and what had been done to the animals. And a week later, when I phoned up and asked her if she had looked at it, and she said to me, there's nothing doing anybody doing to the land or so. It's all in your head.
Yeah, we're all crazy.
No.
All of us, we're all crazy. That's the answer. Yeah, that's it.
The same way a few years ago there was a criminal in... The inspector for the SPCA. She was a new lady, and she picked up one of the calves that had been killed to forward it to the pathology lab in Fredericton. A few days later, I phoned up, and she said, it might cost quite a bit of money. So I had already a hunch, so I phoned up the pathologist in Fredericton at the Provincial Department of Agriculture Veterinary Pathology Lab, Dr. James Golds. And he said to me, we got a phone call from the SPCA to destroy the specimen. So I asked him, who made the phone call? Oh, I don't know. So on a hunch, I phoned the Chief Inspector Paul Melanson from the New Brunswick SPCA, and I asked him. And he said, I made the phone call. I said, that was not for you to do. It was... The specimen were still my property, you know. And then he said the same thing as a lady from the New Brunswick Conservation Council, Stephanie Coburn. There's nobody doing anything with your cattle. It's all in your head. And anybody who watches that YouTube, the documentary Farmer's Ordeal on Joker Tattoo, you know, I leave it up to the people after they watched all four parts.
Oh.
Is that all in the head?
Werner, as I said, and I've repeated this, I have seen your photos. I have seen your YouTubes, and that is not a natural occurrence. Somebody is doing that. There's no question whatsoever. If you view the evidence that Werner has collected, there is absolutely no way you can deny that there was something done to these cattle.
And then there is another YouTube on the internet, and they used some of my pictures from 4 or 5 years ago that were posted in the archives of Dr. Rebecca Carley, maintained by Sheldon Day, and some of the pictures about the burns on the animals.
Yeah.
And the title of that YouTube is Monarch Project, Torture of Innocent Men, Women, Children, and Animals.
Yep.
And it showed identical burns on people.
Yep.
As I have documented on the animals. And some of them, they are horrible things what they have done. Two of the women. One lady that basically cooked half of her breast off. Another Chinese lady, she had her face just plastered with burns. The same way as I had made pictures what they did with one cow when I was coming in one morning in the barn. It was such a trauma to the animal at the time. the little calf, she aborted it instantly, and it was laying behind in the seventh month.
Oh, my God. And, you know,
this technology has been used without impunity.
Yeah.
The criminals now for over half a century. And Canada's finest, those deadbeats, they're looking for UFOs and aliens. This technology, what I've been documenting, has been around lasers for over 50 years and masers that work with microwaves for over 60 years.
Yeah.
You know? And it didn't take half a century when the gun had been developed. For a crime to be committed with a gun, you know?
Exactly.
And half a century, they have been covering up crimes that have been committed with this technology.
Yep.
And one should expect the people, the taxpayers of this country, they should be expecting that Canada's finest are up to snuff and up in step with technology. And not half a century behind. They want today's paycheck. You know? And they give us services based on technology from over half a century ago. They wouldn't be satisfied with the paycheck they got half a century ago.
Mm-hmm.
But we shall be satisfied giving them today's paycheck and getting services based on technology from over half a century ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm a kind of fed up when I saw some of the commentaries and so, and basically advanced military technology and everything. It's a bunch of nonsense. Lasers have been used in manufacturing now for a half a century to cut metal.
Oh yeah, I mean,
in the clothing industry, wherever you name it, lasers have been around here now for decades.
Oh, sure they have.
And I'm
the thing that's mind-boggling to me is there's so many things that if you do a little basic digging, you find out what kind of frauds have been perpetrated on us. Like, for instance, they've got this massive big drug war on against marijuana, okay? And yet the U.S. government holds a couple of patents on marijuana, on cannabinol as a cancer cure.
Yeah, like Rick Simpson. They hounded him out of Canada. He had to go over to Europe.
Exactly. I mean, people are being hounded out of their professions. Andrew Wakefield had to leave Britain. He's now in the States. David Dees, the illustrator, had to leave Sweden. He's now in the United States. All kinds of people have migrated down to South America and, you know, gone all over the place. Because their own nations are now uncomfortable to live in, and their own governments are making them unwelcome because they think for themselves. Now, it gets even worse than that when you see the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual 5, which is the psychiatric community's guidebook in terms of all these mental disorders. And, of course, we know you were sent for an assessment last week. Oh, yeah, he's real crazy, all right, R. Werner. Sure
but
he is.
I can back it up, but whatever I said, I can back it up with facts.
Yeah, well, we know that. They just don't want to let you tell anybody that. They're shutting you up and demonizing and marginalizing you by trying to make you sound like you're a nut bar. Well, you know what? Photos were worth a thousand words. Go look at Farmer's Ordeal on YouTube. You'll find out how crazy this guy is.
And that is just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, it is.
It's basic knowledge of the sciences. This is what I grilled the count prosecutor with. You know, I said, I understand. Before you went to university and studied justice, you know.
Yeah.
One of the basic conditions is that you have to have finished grade 12.
Yeah.
No, and I said, and isn't it one of the requirements in order to finish grade 12 to have one of the curriculum that had required curriculum is the basic sciences?
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
And anyway, I came hard onto that count prosecutor.
Mm-hmm.
And the judge Sweetie said, I won't let any personal attacks, won't allow any personal attacks in my courtroom. So yeah. I voiced it in a little bit of a different way, and he couldn't object to that. Basically, I'd made mincemeat out of him.
Yeah.
And then, lied to the judge. And he said he didn't know anything about those pictures and everything. And I reminded him that a year and a half earlier, at the onset, I went to see him at the courthouse. And I gave him the DVD, Farmer's Ordeal.
Yeah, so he can't.
So I served county prosecutor, RCMP, and judges who had come across. I have some receipts. But there is still one judge, Lampert. I have the receipts with Farmer's Ordeal. His duty would have been to take the necessary steps that it probably properly would have been investigated.
Mm-hmm.
He did no such thing. He is an officer of the court. So he becomes a criminal. He is compelled by law to take the necessary steps.
Yep.
And since he didn't do it, he becomes criminally justice liable. And that's the way I got several politicians, ministers, deputy ministers, and justice officials over the barrel. And police officers.
We people have to stop allowing themselves to indemnify themselves. You know, they can say, oh, well, it's not our fault. They get to make that up, and really what they're doing is they're indemnifying themselves for crimes that they are committing. And we can't let them get away with this stuff anymore. We are letting them get away with murder, literally letting them get away with murder.
And covering up murder.
And covering up murder. Committing atrocities against us and against our children. And now, and then on top of that, you have the cover-up of Fukushima, okay, and how deadly Fukushima is becoming. Their main reactor is now suspended 100 feet in the air in a building that is completely shaky and could fall down at any time. TEPCO, the company that is in charge of those reactors, and which has been saying all along to people, oh, yeah, we can handle it, we can handle it. They're now throwing up their hands and saying, we don't know if we can handle it. And now we've got radiation showing up in tuna off the Pacific coast of California. And we've got radiation showing up in all kinds of other places where it shouldn't be showing up. And it's turning into an exposure of a massive, massive cover-up of exactly how much radiation is filtering around the world now from Fukushima, which is now worse than Chernobyl.
Mrs. Nicholson, may I throw something in?
Please.
There about 35 years ago, around that time, there was Eugene Whalen. He was the agriculture minister.
Yes, I remember old Gene Whalen and his cowboy hat.
And he said in an interview, we shouldn't we shouldn't raise beef and so, you know. We should eat more seafood, you know. And I thought to myself, we shouldn't eat too many beans. You know, we got already enough of a stink, you know. And in regard to seafood, I wrote a letter to the CBC and delivered it. I said at a time when the ocean and waterways become more and more of a garbage dump for over-industrialized society, you know, when you look at it now, Fukushima, radioactive contamination of the West Coast and the old Pacific, then the Gulf of Mexico corrects it, and poisoning the Gulf of Mexico and the coastal areas. You know, when the wind blows the water in, you know, with the rain and everything.
Yep.
Plus the Gulf Stream. It comes here at the East Coast and just goes out a few hundred miles out into the Atlantic, and that's where it stalls. That means all the junk that's come with the Gulf Stream up here, the East Coast, it builds up because it doesn't get transferred across the Atlantic anymore.
Yeah, and now they want to grow in the Atlantic, they want to grow GMO salmon. And I'm going, these salmon are probably going to walk out of the ocean with weapons built into their fins by the time they get done with things. But, Werner, I have to tell you, we are only a couple of minutes away from the end of this broadcast.
May I say just only just a short sentence with what I explained there now?
Please, go
and enjoy your seafood, whether it be from the West Coast, from the South, or from the East Coast. So you better take care of the land and get those chemtrails, idiots, those criminals, get them out of the sky.
Exactly. Exactly. We have a lot of criminals floating around and a lot of causes to follow. And what we have to do is we have to cut the head off the snake. The head of this snake is the international agreements that allow these things to proceed over and above, superseding our laws, making us voiceless. By law, and our governments, all of our governments, are signing these things and taking our rights away, and they need to be stopped. If there is anybody who doubts me, just get online. Don't listen to me. Don't listen to Werner. Don't listen to anybody. Go and do your research, because if you don't get off your butt now, you may not have anything to pass on to your children and your grandchildren, and this world could very well literally get into so much trouble that it can't recover. We are in that much trouble. And I want to thank you, Werner Bock, for joining us today. It's been fabulous having you on. You are a wealth of information.
Well, and I don't know. I'm just I didn't
I know. You
this.
Call yourself a simple farmer, but you ain't so simple, pal. And again, before we go, I want to let people know that if you want to verify what you've heard today, it's not that hard. Go online and do some digging. And while you're at it, go to YouTube and just put in their search engine, Farmers Ordeal, and you will see that Werner has been doing nothing but tell the truth on this program. And this is the truth that we all need to be aware of. Please do your part. If you do not do your part, then evil will thrive. They're not kidding. All it takes for evil to thrive is for good men to do nothing.
And
so
when
now,
good
again,
people do nothing, then they are not good people anymore.
That's right. We've given it up, people. It's our fault, not just the other side. It's our fault, too, for being lax. So that said, I have to close the broadcast now because it is now 6 o'clock. And with that, I want to wish everyone a good intervening 2 weeks till our next broadcast, where we have one hell of a show planned. So please be with us in 2 weeks' time. Thank you, Werner Bock. Thank you.
You're very welcome. And
thank
I want
you.
To apologize, as I say, for getting on a rant once in
no,
a while.
No. We love your rants. We love your rants. That's why we like you to come on the show. But I got to close off now because we're running out of time. We're going to get cut off any second now. So, people, be careful. Keep your heads up. Keep your eyes alert. Keep your ears open. Make sure you have the truth before you make a decision about anything. Find out your own information and get going on it now because we need you. We all need everybody to come together. And with that, good night, God bless, and take care.